One was, I was just wondering, Srila Prabhupada says that when you have an attraction for a particular pastime, then that's an indication of your constitutional position.
If you're at a certain level of advancement.
And I was wondering, well, if you had an attraction for Krishna's pastimes, would that be an indication of your swarup, or an indication of the mercy you received from Lord Chaitanya?
If it's at a certain level of advancement, it's not the indication of a neophyte devotee. Attraction is an advanced stage of devotional service, symptomatic of goodness, but it's not transcendental stage of spiritual life, so therefore it's not something that's accompanied by direct revelation, but because the heart is sufficiently purified, then although undefined and unspecific, but there's general attraction for certain pastime, certain service, and so on. But it's not something that's necessarily representative of every type of attraction one may have, especially if one is very much a neophyte person. Because real attraction, pure attraction, either it's something which is a carryover from previous life where one has a very high level of qualification. But that aside, which is something which is very rare, then unless there's a level of understanding of the principles of Krishna consciousness, then those types of attraction can very easily be tainted with all kinds of other wrong mellows. So it's called rasabhas. But it's good. It's good that in any stage devotees have attraction for Krishna's pastime. They should just take as seriously the indication of what that attraction means in proportion to their actual level of advancement. They shouldn't make more of it. That's called sahaja. When you've got very meager spiritual development and you try to make more of your attachment than what it actually is.
I was just wondering, Navavrati Mahima, is that, have you presented that book in such a way that neophytes can read, or is it really for Majima?
No, it's for everybody, but certain parts are more understandable to more advanced devotees. I world just for that purpose, so that children and everyone can hear. Obviously, some things have require more learning to really understand, but still, the hearing is good. It will purify people whether they understand or not.
The other day we were reading the Rajin Mahima, and we were both moved to tears. And then I was wondering, is that a good sign, or is that because in...
Oh, it's a good sign. It's a good sign. Why not? It shouldn't be taken to necessarily indicate some exalted level of advancement, but it indicates that our hearts are capable of being purified and being where we can be moved to tears, which we should be, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. So those things we call spiritual symptoms. There's nothing wrong with spiritual symptoms. Spiritual in the sense that there's a result of coming in contact with spiritual subject matter. But we should just not misconstrue them, that therefore now I'm something in Krishna consciousness that I'm not. That's all. But at the same time, one shouldn't deny them. That's not good. That's to deny Krishna's mercy. Krishna manifests his Radyantostahibadrani Vidhunoti Suratsatam. When we're absorbed in hearing about him or chanting about him, then he purifies us.
That a person whose heart, the heart can be, when one is a very advanced devotee, then he isn't moved to tears so easily, because his heart becomes like the competitor to something, and then for somebody that's of an inferior level, then he's more easily.
Well, it's grave. That's gravity. And sometimes someone's heart is described as like shellac or honey, and other is gold. So just like gold melts at a higher temperature. But those are perfectional stages. It's not a question of someone's not advanced. The perfectional stages of Krishna consciousness, it just indicates different types of natures. People have different natures. And so somebody's nature is that, yes, they're more easily moved, and others aren't. And then within those categories, there are so many other categories. Because everybody's an individual. So we have individual spiritual natures and that are all characteristically unique. Something else?
There was a discussion amongst devotees about falling down from the spiritual world. Maybe because Prabhupada said don't get into the jiva issue. But after reading that statement that Lord Narayan says, I miss your service, but in the argument they were quoting Jayavadam about it's not possible to fall from Goloka or fall from Vaikuntha. So it seems...
But it's an ongoing... Devotees are ongoingly discussing it and continually asking about it. Why do what Prabhupada didn't want us to do? You can see answering the question isn't getting anyone anywhere. Yes, so we're not getting anywhere discussing it. It's just, it goes on year after year after year after year. So the devotees have their convictions and let them chant Hare Krishna and things will become clear as they become Krishna conscious. I probably get asked that on a weekly basis, just on the podcast, and just as often off the podcast. Those things that are really relevant to our Krishna consciousness. You see that some things just, go on and on and on. It's like it becomes an eternal controversy. It's like, Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the light, and therefore, because you're Hare Krishna, there's no way that you're going to, get redeemed. So, you don't bother arguing that. Because you're not going to get anywhere. Did you give Sankirtan class yesterday?
Yes, from last year. Well, kind of like a discussion with the Sankirtan devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking some of their stories to share with everybody. And Chaitanya Chandra, he's going to send, he's thinking of sending a couple of mothers along, and they can work from Scotland into Edinburgh. So that would be nice for us, because we're a bit thin on the ground right now for the morning program.
So they'll send a couple of devotees there,
Yes.
I'll be curious to see how they do in Scotland.
Yes, they do Edinburgh, because he says they're good with tourists, so they'll be okay. You'll meet any Scotch people in Edinburgh, so they'll be fine.
Send them down to Argyle Street. See how they do there.
We're losing them pretty fast. I think we're doing exactly the opposite to what you're asking us, Gurumas, to make devotees that seem to be losing more than they're making.
Thank you. Anything else?
A question about frustration.
Say that again.
A question about frustration.
Frustration.
It's kind of like one of my specialities. My forte. In the Bhagavad Gita it says, frustration born of the conception of void. It says the conception of void which underlies all frustration. And I was wondering, if a devotee is always seeing Krishna's hand in everything, then does he never... Is frustration only because of conception of void?
You have to really study what context Prabhupada says that in. I know, it seems a little too specific to just answer like that. Certainly, when devotees recognize that nothing is happening without Krishna's will, then there's no question of frustration, because I'm frustrated because I'm not getting what I want. But if Krishna is the one who's giving and taking away, then what's the question of my not getting what I want? Krishna is giving me what I need, and I need to accept that. So if I can't accept what it is that Krishna is giving me, then that's a very immature sort of condition of spiritual life or Krishna consciousness. What to speak of course, for materialistic people, then yes, because they have no perception of the fact of a supreme controller, and that nothing, not even a blade of grass, is moving without his will. And you could say that that's certainly a basis of impersonalism and voidism, as having this conception that I'm the supreme. It's a difficult thing to accept one's fate. We really have to become humble, and but it's something that Krishna forces upon us, because we don't really have any choice anyway. So things happen as they're meant to happen, whether we like it or not, accept it or not. It's not always so easy to accept one's fate, especially when it's not favorable. We think it's not favorable, at least it's not favorable towards sense gratification or our concept of life. Is that your allergy?
I think it's a cold or a hay fever. I'm not sure.
What else?
When the Lord comes, he performs pastimes with all his eternal associates. So, does that? When we hear about Lord Chaitanya appearing, then all the associates appear with Krishna in a different form. So does that apply for all the different incarnations of the Lord?
Yeah, sure. They have their associates. They have their associates, different incarnations. Dhruva Maharaj appears, Mahesh Krishna Garba, or when incarnations are expansions of Krishna, similarly, often the primary devotees are expansions of Lord's eternal associates, like Vasudeva is an expansion of Nanda Maharaj, and Kashyapa is also expansion on the heavenly planets in regards to Vaman Maharaj's appearance, and like that. And they all have, because those incarnations also have their planets, and so they have their associates who are there. And so I don't think all those associates appear, but some of them appear. Something. This is a nice outfit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Fits nicely. The pattern is just the right size. And very, very nice.